You feel the pressure the moment you walk the field. The soil tells you what is coming. Dry patches break apart under your boots. Damp corners hold the scent of things that hide and feed at night. You hear the quiet rattle of leaves, even when the wind is still. That is how pests announce themselves. They do not wait for you to be ready. They push in the moment they sense weakness. You need a plan that starts before they arrive. You study the ground, the heat, and the water lines. You read the scars from past seasons. You know there is no single fix. There is only the system you build and the discipline you keep. Companion planting gives you allies. Natural control gives you reach. The work is slow, steady, and exact. If you do it right, the pressure breaks before the damage comes. If you miss a step, the field reminds you fast. Your job now is to learn the steps and hold the line. Chapter 1. Building the groundwork for regenerative defense. You start by slowing down. The land wants you to rush, but that is how you miss the signs that matter. You walk the layout at first light. The soil shifts under your boots from one patch to the next. Fine dust in one corner, heavy damp clay in another. Both can fail if you push crops into them without understanding the risks. You run your hand across the top layer. Loose soil means fast heat loss at night. Dense soil holds moisture that brings fungus if you pack the plants too close. Every detail becomes part of the system you build. You turn your attention to water. You follow the shallow dips that form after a light rain. These spots hold moisture longer than the rest of the field. They become pressure zones when pests search for shelter. You also mark the ridges where the ground dries fast. That is where tender plants break under heat stress. You need both conditions mapped before you plant anything. Regenerative control starts with pressure management, not quick fixes. You check sunlight patterns next. You watch how the light shifts across the field through the morning. Some areas get hit hard and early. These sections will stress out faster and draw insects that feed on weakened plants. Other areas fall under shade during the late afternoon. These sections stay cooler, which slows pest movement but also slows plant recovery. You make notes because these patterns decide where companion pairs will go. Now you survey insect movement. You hang small sticky cards at knee height in the corners of the layout. You check them 12 hours later. The early catches tell you which pests are already scouting the area. You kneel beside each bed and check the undersides of leaves on weeds and volunteers. The first sign of chewing tells you what you are up against. This is not panic work. It is reconnaissance. You need accurate counts before you build your defense lines. You gather your companion plant list. You start with the pairs that have earned their place over decades of field testing. Tomatoes stay close to basil because the scent throws off the pests that track them by smell. Corn rises beside climbing beans because the stalks act as structure and the beans pull nitrogen from the soil. Carrots grow near chives because the sharp aroma slows the flies that target soft roots. You keep these pairs simple. Too many combinations create confusion and slow your ability to track failure points. Before you plant anything, you shape the garden into defensive zones. You picture pests as a wave. They move in from edges. They search for the weakest plant, then spread through contact. You break the space into blocks. Each block has its own companion pair, spacing, and airflow rule. This prevents one failure from taking the whole field. You leave narrow paths between blocks. These paths act as barriers. They force pests to cross open ground instead of hiding under foliage. Open ground gives you visual control. You prepare the soil for the season. You are not building nutrient-heavy beds. You are building balanced ground that supports steady growth without inviting soft tissue that attracts pests. You rake in compost at a moderate rate. You test the moisture by squeezing a handful of soil. It should hold shape, then crumble. If it turns to mud, you wait. If it falls apart too fast, you water lightly. This stage sets the base for your regenerative approach. Every plant will respond better when the ground is stable. Now you set your safety rules. They are simple but firm. You wear gloves when you handle soil, compost, or plants. You protect your eyes when you cut or trim. You test for allergies before working with strong-scented herbs. You clean tools after every session. You wipe down handles, blades, and buckets, because pests move through contact surfaces as much as they move through air and soil. These steps are not optional. They protect your skin and your field. You begin planting with the companion pears you selected. You plant tomatoes and basil with enough space for airflow. You plant corn in a straight line, then place bean seeds at the base of each stalk. You keep carrots and chives close but not crowded. Each group follows the defensive structure you set earlier. You water slowly at the base of each stem. You avoid leaves because moisture on the surface signals pests that the plant is stressed. You mark the placement of each pear. You use flags or simple sticks because you need fast visual confirmation during morning checks. You want to know at a glance what belongs where. Anything out of place signals trouble. A pest wave will always start in a spot where the system breaks. Clear lines help you read the field. You step back and look at the layout. You track airflow next. You walk the rows and feel for dead air zones where heat collects. These areas weaken plants and attract pests that feed on stressed leaves. You trim back weeds or tall growth near the edges to improve ventilation. You leave some low-cover plants in shaded sections because they reduce soil evaporation and stabilize root zones. You manage air, heat, and water with small adjustments. As the plants settle in, you begin your baseline inspections. You check for leaf curl, early discoloration, or soft stems. You do not jump to conclusions. You confirm the pattern across multiple plants before taking action. Early errors come from reacting too fast. You want clean data, not panic-driven changes. You also monitor weeds. Some weeds carry pests, others compete for water. You remove them at the root and clear the soil surface. You watch the companion pears. You look at how basil handles the first heat spike. You look at how beans climb the corn. You look at how chives throw their scent across the carrot rows. You take notes about spacing, moisture, and response. This information becomes your playbook for the rest of the season. By the end of the first week, the outline of your system appears. You see how each block behaves. You see where pests try to enter. You see how the land pushes back. You hold the system together through discipline. You make one correction at a time. You do not overload the field with changes. You let the plants and soil stabilize first. That is how regenerative defense works. Pressure comes. You meet it without panic. Your chapter ends here with one question standing. You have built the foundation. You have set the lines. You have created the first layer of protection. Everything looks steady now, but the season will not stay quiet. Pests will test your work soon. You know, they always do. Chapter 2, Active Control, Biological Allies and Strategic Pressure. You step into the field before sunrise. The air is heavy and still. This is when pests settle on leaves and wait for the heat to rise. You check your traps. The counts are higher than yesterday. Small changes like this matter. They tell you the pressure is shifting. You feel it in the way the plants respond. A few leaves carry small punctures. A cluster of young shoots bends under weight that should not be there. It is time to bring in allies. You start with the beneficial insects you selected. You release lady beetles along the edge of the block that took the first hits. You do this at dusk because they settle more efficiently before nightfall. You miss the leaves lightly so they have a reason to stay. You watch them spread across the stems. They hunt soft-bodied pests through scent and movement. Their presence changes the energy of the field. You do not expect a full recovery from them alone, but they shift the balance. Next, you introduce lacewing larvae. They move faster and attack a wider range of targets. You place them near the center of the bed where the pests gather. These larvae do not patrol the same way adults do. They follow heat and motion. You adjust the soil surface to give them pathways. You break small clumps, open gaps, and clear debris. A clean field floor improves their reach. Parasitic wasps come last. They require precision. You place their release points near plants that show moderate but spreading damage. You do not put them on the worst block because high pressure breaks them too early. They work best where pests think they have room to grow. You stand still and watch them push through the air. They search for hosts and deposit their eggs. You do not interfere. Biological allies work on their own clock. With your allies in motion, you turn to trap crops. You plant nasturtium on the outer edges of the rows that had early aphid hits. The bright leaves and soft tissue pull pests away from your main crops. You monitor them daily. The moment they show heavy infestation, you cut them down and remove them from the field. You do not compost them. You bag them and clear them completely. Trap crops are shields, not long-term plants. You plant radish on the opposite side of the layout to divert flea beetles. The radish breaks the direction of movement. It gives the pests a soft target and keeps them off your core beds. You track the beetle patterns. They move fast and cluster in bursts. You time your inspections early in the morning. The slight cold slows them enough for clean observation. Now you shift attention to microclimates. You adjust shading over tender plants facing harsh morning heat. You build simple shade pockets with cloth or cut branches. You allow airflow through these pockets because stagnant air builds moisture that calls in more pests. You trim dense corners to increase circulation. Each of these adjustments strengthens the plants. Strong plants resist pests better than the best spray or trap. You check your night inspection route. Slugs and snails move in darkness. They leave trails across mulch and soil. You follow the lines with a flashlight. You remove them by hand with gloves, placing them in a sealed container. You do not relocate them. You end the risk where you find it. You also adjust irrigation schedules so the soil is not soaked overnight. Damp soil draws more nocturnal pests. You begin counting thresholds. You track how many pests you find per plant and per block. You create a simple chart. Low count means the system is holding. Moderate count means your allies are working but need support. High count means you prepare for stronger interventions. These thresholds keep you from acting on fear. You respond to data, not emotion. You watch how the beneficial insects settle. Lady beetles move steadily, clearing small clusters. Lacewing larvae hit the higher pressure zones. Parasitic wasps work quietly, leaving no obvious sign until the pest numbers fall. You look for behavior changes instead of bodies. Pests that move slower or feed less indicate pressure on their population. You strengthen your microclimates again. You adjust shade, check soil moisture, and test airflow. You feel the temperature with your hand near the base of the plants. Hot zones need relief. Cool zones need clearing. Airflow needs to stay clean. These conditions increase plant immunity. Healthy plants produce compounds that make them harder for pests to digest. You let the plants defend themselves when possible. You rotate your traps. Sticky cards move every 2 days. Position changes break pest patterns. You also shift your visual inspection routine. You check one section in the morning and another in the afternoon. This catches pests that hide during specific windows. You never repeat the same route in the same order. Predictable patterns leave blind spots. You observe your trap crops closely. When nasturtium pulls in the aphids, you cut it down before the infestation peaks. You act early. You repeat the cycle with new plants. This process drains the pressure off your main crops and forces pests to start over. Radish follows the same rule. Once it absorbs enough flea beetles, you remove it completely. This disrupts their breeding cycle. You review your threshold chart. Pest counts slow in some blocks but rise in others. This is normal. Systems shift as insects adapt. You identify the blocks that fall outside the balanced range. You strengthen the support there with more beneficial insects or additional trap crops. You do not overload the system. You make one correction at a time. You watch for response. You adjust irrigation timing. Overwatering weakens the roots and pulls pests toward soft stems. Underwatering stresses the leaves and invites chewing insects. You test the soil at different depths. The top layer must stay dry enough to discourage egg laying. The lower layer must hold moisture for steady growth. You water early in the morning so the field dries before night. You stand in the center of the layout and take in the changes. The field feels different. The pressure shifts but does not overwhelm you. You have direction. You have data. You have allies. The system is not perfect, but it is alive and adjusting. This is how natural control works. You steer it, but you do not fight it. You use pressure to break pressure. As the light drops, you walk the field again. You listen. Pests move differently now, slower, less certain. They sense the change. Your plants look steadier. Your allies cover ground you cannot. You feel the season tightening, and you know the next phase will test everything you built. You end the day with one thought. Biological control buys time, not victory. The next wave will force you to repair, recover, and rebuild. Chapter 3, regenerative recovery and crisis prevention. You start the morning with the sound of damage. The wind moved hard in the night. Leaves hang torn. A few stems bend under stress that was not there yesterday. You walk the field slow. You check each block. You find the signs you knew would come eventually. A pocket of pests pushed through the defenses and hit the weaker plants. The system did not break, but it bent. Now your job is to rebuild it stronger than before. You begin with sanitation. You cut away the damaged leaves. You take the pieces out of the field. You do not let them fall to the soil because pests hide inside broken tissue. You clear debris from the ground. You open the surface to air and sunlight. Clean ground resets the field. The plants need space to breathe and recover. You look at the stems next. Some bend under their own weight. Others show the start of rot where pests fed. You trim the weak points. You make sharp cuts so the plant can seal the wound. You do not overcut. Every cut forces the plant to spend energy. You balance between recovery and survival. You let the core stay strong. Now you assess the soil. Damage above the surface tells you something shifted below. You dig lightly near the base of stressed plants. You check for compaction, dryness, or signs of fungal buildup. If the soil smells stale, it needs a reset. If the soil crumbles clean and holds moisture, the problem came from above. These checks tell you what to fix first. When the soil needs recovery, you prepare a simple compost tea. You keep it mild. You focus on microbial balance, not brute strength. You let the brew sit until it darkens. You pour it slowly at the base of the plants that took the worst hits. The tea restores the soil's living structure. It helps the roots recover and pushes out the conditions that pests use to their advantage. You add fungal-dominant mulch to the shaded areas. You spread it with care. This mulch stabilizes moisture and hardens the soil against sudden stress. You do not pile it high. You let it settle thin and open so air can move through. You watch how the mulch changes the smell and feel of the soil. Healthy ground always carries a steady, clean scent. Now you make the botanical sprays. You choose garlic when the field needs strength. You choose neem leaf when pests linger after a surge. You choose hot pepper water when insects keep testing the borders. You steep each ingredient until the water turns rich. You strain it. You test a small section first. You watch for leaf burn or discoloration. Only when the plants show no stress do you spray the rest of the block. You apply the spray at low pressure. You coat the underside of leaves first. This is where pests hide and feed. You work through the block slowly. You do not oversaturate. Too much moisture weakens the plants again. Each pass must be clean, steady, and direct. Botanical sprays are tools, not shortcuts. You use them only when the system needs a push. With the immediate threat controlled, you turn to airflow. The surge exposed where the dead zones formed. You trim the plants that grew thick along the edges. You remove weeds that crowded the rows. You adjust the spacing between companion pairs so the wind can move through smoothly. Airflow cleanses the field. It dries moisture. It stops mold. It weakens pests that depend on hiding places. You walk the layout again. You note the plants that held strong during the surge. You also note the ones that failed. This information shapes your rotation plan. You decide which crops will return next season and which ones need a break. Rotation prevents pests from locking into memory zones. When the field changes, the pests lose their advantage. You draw the plan in a simple grid. You mark the movement of each crop. You keep it disciplined. Next, you strengthen the monitoring system. You build a weekly log. You write the date, the temperature, the soil moisture, and the pest activity. You note the health of each block. You add yield numbers when harvest begins. You keep the log clean and direct. This record becomes your map of the season. It shows where the field held and where it cracked. You build a pest journal next. You document the species you see, the patterns they follow, and the conditions that trigger them. You write down the time of day when they appear and the sections they hit first. You record what worked against them and what failed. This journal becomes a long-term tool. It teaches you more than any guide or chart. As recovery continues, you strengthen the plants left standing. You water them at the root, not the leaves. You time irrigation early in the day. You check moisture with your hand. You let the soil tell you when it is ready for more. You watch how the plants respond. Strong plants raise their leaves toward the light. weak plants fall back and stay dull. These signs tell you where to focus. You walk the edges of the field again. You look for early warnings. You check the trap cards. You check the soil. You check the undersides of leaves. You do this without rush. You do it with discipline. Natural pest control is not a one-time event. It is a cycle. You learn the rhythm. You act before the pressure rises. You step back and look at the layout. The field feels steadier. The plants hold their shape. The system bends but does not break. You rebuilt the ground, the plants, and the defenses. You know the season will throw more pressure your way, but now you understand how to respond. Recovery is not the end. It is part of the cycle. You end your work by setting the final layer of prevention. You check the mulch. You adjust the paths. You confirm the spacing. You clean your tools. You close the field with the same discipline you used to open it. The system stays alive because you stay consistent. You stand at the edge of the field as the light falls. The air moves clean through the rows. The plants stay steady. The soil holds its strength. The pests, for now, stay quiet.